Hello and welcome to ASI Cast 169. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and our guest on today's podcast is Lindsay Clay, who's CEO of Thinkbox, who are the marketing body for commercial television in the UK. So, hello, Lindsay.
Hello to you.
Now, fully 6 years ago, we published a special edition of the podcast called What is Television? And one of the questions we posed was whether the subscription VOD companies were actually television. I remember speaking to Tess Alps, who was chair of Thinkbox at the time, and her answer was quite clear that, and she said to us at Thinkbox, we would say Netflix and Amazon Prime are absolutely part of the TV industry. However, they clearly were not commercial television at the time. Now, fast forward to 2024. And Thinkbox has just announced that Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus are joining its ranks. So, can you talk us through how that came about? Did they approach you or vice versa? How did this come to pass?
Well, I think it's interesting reflecting back on the history of streamers' relationship with TV. And if you think about it, particularly when Netflix first started, they initially presented themselves as the enemy of and challenger to TV. They said, what we're doing is going to basically kill TV. And I think, that's the way businesses often start, isn't it? You've got to have an enemy. But then they gradually, I think they and the TV industry realized that they were TV. And a really important part of it. So, but at that time, I suppose any kind of relationship with Thinkbox wasn't appropriate because they weren't commercial, they didn't take advertising. So, from our point of view and the point of view of our shareholders, they were really like another BBC. So, a competitor for content, a very important part of the TV landscape, but not a competitor for advertising viewing time because they didn't take advertising. But as soon as they started launching the ad tiers or talking about them, then we started to discuss it as a possibility with our shareholders who were ITV, Channel 4, Sky, and UK TV. And of course, this would be advertising in high quality pro TV programming. So, to all intents and purposes, it would be TV advertising. So, and I think the principle of Thinkbox from the beginning has been all about trying to grow the pie for TV as a whole, trying to champion it and defend it and grow it. And so, if the streamers were about to become an important part of that landscape, in fact, all the broadcasters were developing their own streaming services anyway. So, this is a really pivotal time because it means the really high quality part of the TV advertising landscape is growing. So we had some discussions with our shareholders about, well, if they did join, how might they join, and what would we want for them from them? And largely, that's all about committing to the standards, retaining the standards that are so valued by advertisers, and to support the overall marketing effort and to have independent measurement, preferably from Barb. Have a rigorous ad clearance program, all the sorts of things that are important for TV. But of course, these were the type of things that they were absolutely determined to do because they wanted to be part of the TV landscape. And so, in terms of who approached whom, it was a sort of gloriously serendipitous thing, really. So, we're a small industry, we bump into people at events. And just as we were thinking this would be a good thing for TV advertising, they were launching their ad tiers and being told by the advertiser community that, well, if you want to be, this is great, but you need to join Barb and you need to join Thinkbox. So there was a sort of, perfect coming together. And what we found is we very quickly came to, it was a sort of very straightforward conversation. And then once we'd had a couple of them signed up, in principle, we contacted the others to let them know that this was happening and we were planning on making an announcement. And it was amazing how quickly it all then snowballed. So, a number of them are part of huge, big corporate international organizations, but it's amazing how sort of fleet of foot they can be, when they want to be. So that's really how it happened.
Oh, no, I was wondering how you got to be able to announce all three in a triple bill at the same time. So
Well,
there was an
it was
element.
actually five because it was also Vevo who were keen, always keen to join, and Warner Brothers Discovery. When we chatted to them about what was happening, I mean, technically they're absolutely covered by Thinkbox anyway because they, their sales partners Fun Think Box. But they were just keen to be part of that story. So they were keen to be part of it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the headlines tended to focus on those three, I guess, because of them being, as you say, historically more seen as the subscription VOD companies. Although
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what they're called now. Someone floated the idea of HVOD to me last week, which I wasn't hybrid VOD, which I wasn't
Hybrid.
overly keen on. I
We've
think
got far too many acronyms in this industry already, surely. That's
absolutely, absolutely. The announcement mentioned they were joining as associate members. Is there any implication on associate as opposed to full membership?
Well, yes, there is, and quite an important one. I suppose associate means a partner rather than an owner. And I think that is very appropriate status for these companies. You know, they're all sophisticated content businesses, but they're mostly emerging media owners. So they're sort of starting their journey in advertising, and they don't necessarily at this stage want to be full members. And I think similarly from our shareholders, that would possibly be the next step. So it's an appropriate relationship. It enables them to be, you know, to send a really clear message about their direction of travel, and it allows us to say something really positive about the future of TV as well.
I guess there's also, as I understand it, a parallel with Barb, where they're subscribers, but obviously they're not underwriters. They're not
Yes, and I think that's a great example. You know, that's they're part of it, but sort of one step further away than, say, you know, our shareholders.
The announcement also very much centered around the concept of premium video, which is very much a talking point at the moment. I know the VAB in the States has also stressed that as a clear definition or point of difference from other forms of video. How does Thinkbox define what it and its members define what's premium and what's not?
Well, I think that's a good question, and it's not just about video, it's about video advertising too. So if we start on the video part first, then we would see it as the high quality, professionally made, with some sort of very clear editorial control. And I think actually the Barb term that they've come up with, fit for TV, does quite a lot of the useful heavy lifting here. You know, does it have the characteristics and high quality that you would expect from a commercial TV environment as far as the, you know, content is concerned? But then, of course, there's a video advertising environment too, which is a really important part of this. So, you know, does it have the high quality standards that advertisers can rely on? Are the ads pre-cleared? Have you made sure that restricted ads don't appear in the wrong content, or, you know, be shown to the wrong audiences? Is there an appropriate balance between the content and the ads? And I think it's a question of, it will feel familiar. It will, you know, it's almost like you know it when you see it, but there are some clear parameters for both of those elements.
Yeah, that makes sense. In terms of, I guess that the argument around premium video has also been linked to definitions, or like minimum definitions of what is an exposure or an impression, which there can be varying opinions on that. Do you think there's any prospect of the industry agreeing across all of video some form of common baseline, as it were, they can build on, or is social video so radically different in the way that it works to premium video that that becomes, almost like clear blue sky between the two?
I think it's a very difficult topic. It's very hard to imagine we could come up with a common definition, because if you think about it from largely from a TV advertising perspective, an impression is not just a video start, it's a video completion, and that's usually 30 seconds long. Whereas on a lot of the long tail of video, you know, they've had to set that minimum standard. And even that feels ridiculously low. It's, you know, whatever it is, 100% of the pixels for 2 seconds. And I think I suppose a good illustration of the gulf between TV, the premium end of the AV marketplace, and the long tail of AV video is if you look at the sort of the cost per thousand. So this is an exercise that we've done at Thinkbox. So if you look at the 30-second equivalent cost per thousand, rather than just the cost of an impact or an impression, it's around £7.50, I think, per thousand for TV advertising. So the equivalent cost per 30 seconds of video advertising is £145. So that sort of gives you an indication of where the bulk of those, the time length of those impressions. So, clearly that the sort of spectrum of advertising in video is very, very large. And it's just hard to imagine. But maybe it's possible. Maybe cleverer people than me can crack that one.
I guess the other related thing is, I mean, Thinkbox is very heavily involved in the whole process of demonstrating the effectiveness of TV as a medium. And we'll come on to one of the projects you've won an award for in a moment. But do you think there's any prospect if the industry could agree, assuming it doesn't agree to disagree, but if it could agree some form of baseline impression metric, that then there could be some form of standardized effectiveness measure? I mean, people talk about, there's a lot of talk about attention, for example, and the impact that has. But I think a lot of your work does focus on demonstrating the actual impact that advertising has. Or is that just, a pipe dream that the industry could actually agree on a way of measuring the actual effectiveness of different forms of video advertising?
Well, it's almost every measure that you look at. There are different elements that influence the powerful effectiveness of TV. And it's not just about the form of video and how long it is and how much is viewed. It's so much of it is about the environment it appears in, the way it's viewed, who's viewing it. How they feel about it, the reasons they're viewing. So all those contextual factors. So it's again, it's perhaps it's possible, but it feels like usually when you try and find a lowest common denominator for an effectiveness measure, there's a whole load of the sort of special characteristics of TV that are not counted. There's a whole series of things which the TV difference we call them. The things that the huge bundle of different factors that go into making TV so powerfully effective. And I think the more you reduce it, the more those are either sort of just taken for granted or not counted, not given the credit they deserve.
So I know there's a lot of work going on with some broadcasters around clean rooms at the moment and linking, I guess that the biggest challenge is also what is the outcome, because particularly TV, if you look at the Binet and Field work, TV is incredibly effective as a brand building medium, but it's a lot harder to demonstrate brand impact than it is to just have a simple measure of someone clicking on a website to buy a product, isn't it?
Now, I think sort of real business outcomes is one of the biggest attention areas for a lot of, not just the TV industry, but lots of media owners at the moment. Because if you can demonstrate that, then it almost it doesn't negate the need for some of the intermediate measures, but there would be huge benefits if you could be clear about what are the outcomes you're looking for and then demonstrate that TV, for instance, has played a significant role in delivering that, then maybe we'd care less about all those important but intermediate measures.
I mentioned awards, and Thinkbox, I think it was just last week, won a number of awards at the UK Ad Wanted Research Awards as Trade Body of the Year, and specifically for the project you did that was called BVOD Almighty, which is a good pun. What were the main findings of that project then?
Well, I think we were particularly proud of that project, and I think Matt Hill and the research team have just done a spectacular job on that because the scope of it was so huge. And I think the industry had been looking for some significant work on BVOD because there are all sorts of questions. It really emerged as a, mature medium. But I think one of the things that was so impressive about that research was just the amount of different players involved. So obviously it wasn't just Thinkbox, it was all the broadcasters, ITV, Channel 4 and Sky, because their involvement was needed, because we needed the required access to the, BVOD raw log files. We had econometric teams from the media agencies, Essence, MediaCom, Wavemaker and Mindshare, because they had that sort of big bank of client econometric data that was so useful. We then worked with Game Theory and PwC, and in terms of qual and strategy, Acacia Avenue. So it was a huge, big, brilliant team building, cat herding exercise. But I think one of the main findings was really about the effectiveness. I mean, it all comes back to effectiveness, doesn't it? So, and that campaigns using linear TV together with BVOD are typically up to 10% more effective than linear alone at delivering a return on investment. So that's really helpful. I mean, we knew, we very much expected that to be the case, but it's good to have the actual evidence. And then, interestingly as well, BVOD came out as the least risky of all video advertising. So, in terms of predictability of return, BVOD, was had a really positive results there. And then, there was all sorts of interesting environmental things that came out along the way. Things like, again, which we probably knew, but it's good to have the evidence, that the sort of the perception of targeting, that ads on a TV screen aren't scrutinized for relevance. They're accepted as long as they resonate with the audience. But ads on a device are, people are much more critical of them, and they're scrutinized for, well, why are you serving me this ad? It needs to be meaningful. And then there was some fantastic work that particularly PwC did around how to get the best out of a BVOD campaign, and what are, planning tactics that you should use. So it was about, generally, plan longer campaigns, plan across the whole, all the TV sales houses. Key programming is absolutely vital. Plan across multiple genres and longer day parts to sort of really get the most out of it. But I think it was really pleasing to see the team triumph, the huge broad team triumph the other night. It was really great.
I mean, have you got any potentially award-winning research that you've got that you can tease that you're planning or able to talk about coming up for the next?
We absolutely do. So we just launched last week some work called Context Effects. So, and that was really great piece of work, looking at the particularly looking at the living room, I suppose, and what are the characteristics that really, it always comes back to effectiveness, what are likely to make the, most powerful TV impact of TV advertising. And there was a very interesting insight that emerged from there, which is about the sort of the fundamental community that gathering around the TV set in the living room has. And the researchers expressed it as people don't gather to watch TV. They use TV to gather. So it's the gathering and the togetherness and the, being there, in a group or as a pair, that's really fundamental. And TV is the most spectacularly good way of helping you do that. So again, it was really interesting. And then later this year, very soon, in fact, in April, we are redoing our sort of landmark profitability study. So that's the huge, econometric analysis that was so well regarded a number of years ago. Obviously, there's a lot of water under the bridge since then. We've had the global pandemic and the downturn and everything else. So it'd be really interesting to see, how TV is, ad TV and other media are performing in the world that is now.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for those. They both sound like they're going to be interesting
Yeah,
projects.
that's coming in April, actually, so not too long.
Oh, yeah. That's where are we at? March. Yeah, that's next month. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us today, Lindsay, and congratulations on widening the membership of Thinkbox and the definition of TV. It does make a lot of sense to me, particularly as reflecting last year on the number of co-productions that are going on between, the BBC and Disney and commercial broadcasters and some of the global SVODs. So it makes a lot of sense. So thanks for joining us.
That's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.